Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do all consistent with the name. Do all in the light of the name. Do all taking into consideration the reputation of the name. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, when David was told what the name will mean in the future, it was in his future. David came into the temple and sat down on the floor, the king, and said, what manner of man am I that you should show me so much favor? Began to speak of a promise. In that promise he was speaking of, utterance was given to him as a prophet. Because when it was a promise, it was raw power. Now that it's fulfilled, it's even much more powerful. Whatsoever you do, in word or deed, don't do it in the light of your bank account. Don't do it in the light of your salary. You know, we're worshiping just now. I saw something about rents being sorted. Listen. Not just rents for individual. I saw ministry rents. That is the payment for the things you are going to do for him next year, ministry. I saw it being started. How do we step into that? Do all in the name. It's not more shouting we need. It's more hallowing of the name. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Even that which looks like an hindrance. You know, sitting down can be a spiritual activity. You pull a chair and sit down. I hallow your name. I reverence your name. All things are possible in your name. I have the answer in your name. The doors are open to me in your name. I walk this path in your name. I see this as done in your name. I see myself accomplishing this task in your name. Because you're already risen and you're seated. That's the exceeding greatness of your power. That's your name. That's your name. I will not be afraid. That's your name. You did all you could do so that you will never leave me nor forsake me. That's your name. So that I can boldly say today, the Lord is my helper. That's your name. That's your name. I will not be embarrassed. I will not be ashamed because you are able to save to the uttermost. That's your name. That's your name. The bills are paid for. The bills are paid for. The loans are sorted. The debt. It's sorted. It's sorted. It's sorted. That's your name. That's your name. That's your name. That's your name. Thank you. I need not to fret. I need not be afraid. Oh, to the setting of the same. Your name is to be hallowed. For from sun up to sundown, I do nothing but hallow your name. In speaking, in praying, in singing, in acting, I do nothing but hallow your name. Your name is my final answer. Your name is my final response. Yeah, your name is the final say on all I've believed for. The final say. Not the situation, not the circumstance. Not even what the doctor said. I know I have all I will ever need in your name. I'm satisfied with the goodness of your house in your name. In your name. Oh, glory to your name forever. Glory to your name forever. Of the sun to the setting of the same.
Your name is to be hallowed, Adonai.
Hallelujah. Angels of God, in the name of Jesus, as we whisper the name of the Master, we are in that name. We are of that name. Go forth. Work miracles. Cause provisions to come. Let there be supernatural surprises. Touch the hearts of men. Let provisions flow in. Let what wasn't working start working. Turn the hearts of men in our direction. Let there be favor all around. Let there be special packages of blessings everywhere we turn. Not just next week, this 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 week. Go forward in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah? Oh. The atmosphere is rich with the fragrance of Christ. Yeah. They're energized. And yes, they go forth. They go forth. They go forth. They go forth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Fekalo tu estia. Estro bragatike eli ekekus susu telefrati legeste. Estu kokite elekia. Ekudu, ekudu, ekudu. You see the fear that the enemy sends ahead as a smoke screen. The light of every news and present situation is to make you to forget where the word says forget not. So choose to forget not all of his benefits. For all the Father has is yours in his Son. So now, cast out the other fear also. For you have dealt with the first fear, but the other fear is still there lurking in the background. What is the other fear, you say? Is the fear of asking for all that you desire. Yeah, you stayed in survival mode for so long. Just enough to tide you over week by week, month by month. And yet there are loftier things that you desire. But then you are free to ask or to reach forth. You say many things and give many excuses. It's not possible. Not by the work of my hands. Not where I am. But I am the Lord. And I change not. So reach forth to the bigger things. Break the cycle of fear on your mind that constrains you from seeing better things and enjoying better things and taking hold of better things. The better things, reach forth for them. First of all, in your mind and by utterance, call them forth. Call them forth. Call them forth. And as you practice my word this way, and answers come. For I'm more willing to do for my children than my children are ready to ask. Now, rise up. Get up the loins of your mind and ask. And ask knowing that the answers are there before your request. Ask knowing that it is my good pleasure that you have all these things. Ask knowing that if you are glad and your heart overflows with joy, then the scriptures are fulfilled. That you are overflowing in the goodness of your Father's house. Yeah, ask and not hold back. Don't ask for little. Ask for what you think is much. For what you thought was much is not much in light of my provision. Ask, ask, and you shall receive, and your joy will be full. Glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's good for us to make some adjustments. Hallelujah. I don't know if you understand what the Spirit of God is saying tonight. There are two kinds of fear. There's a fear we all know. Then there's this other fear that stops you and holds you back from asking for God's best. You are just content with, if I can just have enough, just to tide me over. And yet, in your heart, you want, there are loftier things you're looking forward to, but you are afraid to voice them into words. Some things have constrained your mind, situation, and economy. But he says to ask. He says tonight, ask. Let's go ahead and ask him. Let's just go ahead and ask him. You don't have to raise your voice. Just ask him. Like he has said, just ask him. For your son, for your daughter, for your child, just ask him. He's more than willing. His provisions precede our request. Just go ahead and just ask him. Ask him with joy. Ask him with gladness. Ask him rejoicing. Ask him with praise. Ask him knowing. Oh, it's a father's good pleasure for you to have all that you request in a place of prayer. Oh, ask him. Ask him. He's a savior like no other. The one who is able to save to the uttermost. No holding back. His mighty hand provides. His mighty arm strengthens. His mighty hand sees us through. Yeah. And we will sing of his goodness and of his mercy and of his praise all the days of our lives. Oh, we exalt you. Oh, we exalt you. We exalt you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. We ask without shame. You were not ashamed to call us brethren. So we ask also without shame, without holding back. Knowing our Father gives, he gives liberally. He doesn't find fault. I don't want this again. Lord Jesus, take it away. I want this. Lord Jesus, provide for me abundantly. Lord Jesus, oh my Lord, help me. Let this be sorted. Let this be settled. Let this fall into place. This is the time for this. You already know what is in my heart. But I express it with all boldness, without holding back. Now, I express it with all my heart, without holding back. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, we give praise to you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Praise him tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Praise him tonight. Just praise him. Just praise him. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. Praise him tonight. Glory to your name forever. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We honor you. Rejoice in your faithfulness to us. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. The instructions we have by your Spirit, we are grateful. Sons and daughters will receive abundantly of what you've spoken to us tonight about. Oh, blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, let's have our seats. There should be a smile on your face by now, because you know you have received. Praise God forevermore. Praise God forevermore. Our authority in his name is what we're looking at, isn't it? All right. And we've covered some ground. Try to look at this from different angles. So this is day 11. Amen. So which month did we pray for today? November. It's already glorious. Things are already sorted. Glory to God. All right. Acts chapter 2. Let's take a slightly different turn. Acts chapter 2. Praise God forevermore. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they appeared unto them, gloomy tongue like as of fire, and they sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, if you read that the way it is written without doing a constructive study, it will look as though, listen carefully, the Spirit is the active party in verse 4. But notice, they were all gathered together in one accord, in one place. So they gathered. According to instruction from the head of the church, they gathered together. They were together in prayers, and suddenly, so the suddenly was, they became conscious and aware. Okay, a sound came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. That means there was no rushing mighty wind. As of a, it's a figure of speech, as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house. Again, the house there is not a reference to where they were sitting, because they were in Solomon's porch. Solomon's porch is a section of the temple. That's not upper room. That's Solomon's porch. So upper room is like what you call their place of accommodation. They were not there. They were worshiping and praying together in a section of the temple called Solomon's porch. Now, to fill all the house physically would mean the old temple, isn't it? But to fill all the house there was a reference to the 120 who had now become the house of God. So if you come near where they are and you're not saved, you won't hear the sound. You won't see the tongues of flame. You won't see it. It was unique to the 120. Notice it says, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So again, if you read that, because a lot of people have read that, and their conclusion was that, I'm waiting for the Spirit to give me utterance. So they forgo the first part. What's the first part? They began. Remember in chapter 1 of Acts, Jesus taught them for a period of 40 days. And he taught them things concerning the kingdom. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father. Notice which has, past tense. It has been done. It is sorted. Who has qualified us to be what? Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So there is an inheritance reserved for the saints in the light in Christ Jesus. I have stepped into that inheritance. That inheritance is in me now by the Spirit of God. So notice giving thanks for a reality. What's the reality? Inheritance reserved for the saints in the light. You are giving thanks for that inheritance. Then notice what it says in the next verse, verse 13. It says, who has what? Delivered us from the power of darkness and has what? Translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So this was the experience in Acts chapter 2. They were delivered. They had been translated. They were now in the kingdom of his son. Listen, remember what Jesus told them. When he told them to preach remission and forgiveness of sins in his name, he told them, tarry ye where? In Jerusalem. Until ye be what? Endued with power. From where? From on high. Now, tarry ye there means you stay. When you put the gospels together, understanding begins to come, because you think they are saying different things, but rather the language of the writers are different, but they are saying exactly the same thing. So Luke's language was this, tarry ye where? In Jerusalem, until ye be what? Endued. With what? Power from where? On high. So notice, they were the ones to tarry. The power from on high wasn't something, listen carefully, God was going to do. It was something God had done when they got saved. What was the challenge? They were yet to realize what God had done. So let's say that again. Power from on high wasn't something that God was going to do on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was meant to be a day of the fulfillment. The fulfillment was going to be made manifest by men. Let me say it again. The day of Pentecost is called the day of Pentecost because it's a day when what was a shadow with respect to the physical feast, the reality was going to be seen with men demonstrating it. Hallelujah. You know, Pentecost was a Jewish feast. But the reality of the feast was that men, indwelled by the Spirit, will express the Spirit. And their first expression of the Spirit, there was an ingathering of people became saved. Now, look at what happened again. Luke told us this way. He says, Luke told us in Luke 24 and verse 49, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be what? Endued. And when you look at that word endued, it means to settle into something or to be clothed with something. The active party is the individual and not what you are clothed with. It's like putting on a piece of cloth that is already present. You couldn't make the cloth present. Somebody else supplied the garment. You wear the garment. Who supplied the garment? Christ. Where was he? On high, seated. So, what they were doing, because by the time you listen to Peter's teaching, Peter's explanation, you realize that in Christ, the ball is in your court. That is what the name means. The ball is in your court. That means he is done his part, he is seated. As those who are seated, our response is to express what his sitting represents. So, when you hear that they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began, usually because we study in English, we allow that word to sometimes rob us of the meaning of that passage. The word "and" is not a conjunction, it's an explanation. They were on field and they began, or that is, they began. So the filling is their beginning. They were on field, that is, they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them what? Utterance. So if you focus on last part, you're thinking the Spirit gave them utterance. We're waiting for the Spirit to give utterance. No, you didn't read it well. They were all filled, that is, they began. Their beginning is the Spirit giving utterance. Or what we saw find expression through them is the Spirit at work. So the utterance was present. The utterance couldn't be expressed until they chose to express it. Remember, look at Acts 1:8. Look at the word that was used. Acts 1:8. But you shall what? Receive power. Let me ask a question. Who is speaking here? Who is speaking here? Okay. What did Jesus say to them before he ascended? Okay. Let me play a little bit of words now. In Acts chapter 1, did Jesus ascend before them? Did they watch him go up? Was he up when he was going up? Okay. Was he already up when he was going up? Okay. I want to know whether everything I've been teaching since, you've been following. Was already up when he was going up? He was already up. That physical ascension is not the ascension. The ascension is in the hearts of men. He was already in their hearts. But for them to come to the revelation of it, he needed to leave their physical senses. Because, you know, for you it would have been different because you didn't stay with him for 3.5 years in the flesh. You can't have that kind of challenge. They were with him for 3.5 years. They will have continued with that sense knowledge if he doesn't leave them. Because his being inside them was greater than he being with them. And they needed to be persuaded about it. So, John 16:7, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go not away, the comforter will come. The ascension will happen. The Spirit will indwell you. Those words are the same thing. Okay, I've jumped. The way you're looking at me. You're looking as though I've not taught these things before. Are you with me tonight? Say, Pastor, I understand. All right, so should I backpedal a little bit? Okay, John 16:7. We saw that a few days ago. John 16:7. I'll be speaking one by one now. The aim of teaching is understanding. John 16:7. It is what? Expedient for you, which is what advantage? And I go away. If I go not away, that statement is not a statement of, you won't be able to come. No. He has already explained the going away in chapter 14. I'll go and prepare a place for you so that where I am, you may be also. If I go, I will come again. I will receive you to myself. The word prepare is internal word preparation. We explain what that means, isn't it? Where did Jesus prepare? Outside or inside you? He prepared us to become the Father's mansion dwelling place. So he was continuing the teaching in chapter 16 using different phrases. If I go not away, that is, if I don't finish the work on the cross, if I don't resurrect, if I don't ascend, the comforter can come because the ascension and the comforter in you, they are one and the same thing. Say amen. Good. So if I go not away, the comforter won't come. Because my going away is a comforter what? Coming. That's what he's trying to say. But if I go away, I will send him to you. He's saying the same thing. I go and prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again and receive it to myself. John 14:3. So that where I am, what? It may be also. So Jesus is using many, many words to explain the benefit of his resurrection, which is what? The ascension, which is his name. So we spent time over the past weeks explaining one major thing, that the name of Jesus is not in the pronunciation or the spelling. The name of Jesus is not J-E-S-U-S, even though when you want to write it down, that's what it is. The name of Jesus is his reputation, his accomplishment, his standing. That's the name. So you can say the man's substance is wealth. That is the name. So the believer that will get results, that's why the Bible says that whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The word baptized means immersed into the name. What experience Jesus provides salvation? So by believing, you are what? Immersed into salvation, which is what he has accomplished. Say amen. Now when you are immersed, it is everything that salvation offers that you are immersed to. So if you are baptized in his name, it means you are immersed into his saving grace, which is what his name what represents. Say amen. That's important. So when you go to Acts 2 now, and they were on field and they began, or that is they began, they were acting on the name of Jesus. A believer speaking in tongues is acting on the name of Jesus. Every time you speak in tongues, you are using the name of Jesus. Look at how John introduced him. John chapter 1, verse 34. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Again, the next day John stood, verse 32. That's verse 32. It says, and John bear record, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he abode upon him. And I knew not, but he that sent my baptized water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit send thee, the same is he that what? Baptizes not with water, but with what? But with what? So, notice what Jesus said when he was doing. This is John teaching. This is John teaching. John's teaching ministry is, John taught beyond baptism. John's message of baptism was about what? The revelation of Christ. So, when I saw the Spirit descend, I testified that this is he that baptized what with the Holy Ghost. John said, this is why I came baptizing with water. So water was meant by John to typify what Christ would do. Not to a man's body, but to a man's spirit. This is the one that baptizes with the real deal, which is what? The Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But the question is, when did he step into that office of baptizing men? When he ascended on high and he sat at the Father's right hand. So, we can look at Acts 2 in retrospect because we're going to look at Peter's explanation. What did they see on the day of Pentecost? Men saw an experience. What did Peter do? He got up and explained the experience. Because faith comes by what? Hearing. So in the explanation for you and I today, we still receive faith and understanding and clarity from Peter's teaching on the day of Pentecost. Because they operated from a place of understanding. The crowd operated from a place of amazement. So Peter gave them the teaching to explain the experience. Now, once you have understanding, any experience you have in Christ that seems to be a phenomenon becomes a continuous exercise once understanding is given to you. So notice again, because again, that one verse of scripture, and they were all filled that they began, has confused many because of their reading of the scripture. Because if you don't read it side by side with other scriptures that speak of the same thing, you know what happened. So they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, that is, they began. So they were filled is an activity of men, not an activity of God. Who supplies power? God. Who takes hold of power? Men. So again, back to Acts 1:8. Praise God. Jesus is teaching them, but you shall what? Receive power. The Greek word lambano. You will take hold of power. And after you take hold of power, the Holy Ghost will be seen upon you. That means the Holy Ghost is present, but you have a responsibility for taking hold of the ability of the Spirit. So you shall receive power. We have read it in the passive tense. Which I will receive power means that I will just stay, then God will give me power. But no. The word receive in Greek is the word, is an active word, lambano, to take hold of something already present. So it says you shall receive or take hold of power, and in that taking of power, the Holy Ghost will be seen upon you. That's Acts 2:4. That's what happened in Acts 2:4. The Holy Ghost was seen how? In what the saints began to speak. How many? 120. Simultaneously speaking. Yes, it's very possible not all of them spoke with the same degree of boldness at the same time. But obviously the momentum gathered until the crowds also gathered. So 120 people following an instruction, you shall receive power. Who made power available? Jesus made power available. So why did they need to be taught? Because spiritual realities take a while to settle on our consciousness. Hallelujah. Listen carefully. A local assembly pastor has his work cut out. Teaching week in, week out, spiritual realities. If Jesus spent 40 days, I will spend 80 years. He's my Lord. And yes, he's the finest teacher. He spent 40 days. And when he finished, he's not just a good shepherd, he's a great shepherd. He spent 40 days. We didn't know how many hours per day the session was. Maybe 6 hours. Then he came to Jesus, delegate. Beautiful teaching. Master, excellent. Wow. We are blessed. Your ministry will prosper. But at this time, we just want to ask that, will you like restore the kingdom? Kingdom. We're talking about spiritual kingdom. We're talking about kingdom of men. How will you feel with all the great refs that you have just reached out? We understand. We bless God. Wow. Awesome. But at this time, will you restore? Say, like, you don't say them, that is not for you. That's why I said, tarry. Ah, you need to tarry. The way you are like this, you can, you'll be to a complete failure. You need to tarry. So, who needed the tarrying? The men. What was the tarrying for? John chapter 14, verse 16. Glory to God. Are you connecting the dots tonight? Praise God. Because you could hear Stefrada Katulegia, estro. The days come, they're upon us. When in your sitting and you're lying down, with your eyes closed, you will see the angel standing by. With your eyes open, you will not see the angel. With your eyes closed, you will see the angel again. It will be spiritual vision. You will be bold. For at the same time your sin, utterance will come. Rise up within. And as a son, you will speak the right words. The angel will go forth. And what everybody called difficult, in less than 24 hours, it will be resolved. So 2023, you've got to learn how to take hold of power. You've got to learn not to wait for power, but to take hold of power. You have to learn how to take hold of power. You will need to command the healing to see the healing. You will need to command the miracle to see the miracle. And you will command, and there's no physical evidence, but you stand where you are and say, no, the work is done. The work is done. Then you see the bodies of men respond to the power of God upon your lips. They will respond. They will respond. And they will keep responding. And some that will leave your presence, they will not know that things have rearranged themselves in the realm of the spirit until the next morning when news will come. I was suddenly well. I was suddenly fine. The issue was suddenly resolved. Take hold of power, child of God. Take hold of resources. Take hold of heaven's provision for this hour, this season. Those resources are for you. They are prepared for you. And every month, there is a storehouse of power made available by God's Spirit for you to use. Some have seen it. Some have spoken about it. Some have prophesied about it. It's time to walk in it and run with it. We walk in it. We run with it. We walk in it. We run with it. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall gift you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That's not resurrection. That's ascension. That's ascension. Notice, he will abide with you forever. That's the indwelling of the Spirit. That only took place in the ascension. So we said, the resurrection is not his glory. The ascension is his glory. There's a difference. The ascension is a consequence of the resurrection. So without the resurrection, there can't be an ascension. But you see, when he was talking about his name, yes, the first phase, the first to rise out of spiritual death, yes. But beyond that, there was a destination. It's called the ascension. He says, I will pray the Father. And the word pray there doesn't mean we need him to pray. It means I will accomplish that which will place a demand on the Father. He's not talking about persuading the Father. It's like meeting an obligation that will let loose what God has always wanted to give. What obligation do you think Jesus will fulfill? I'll go and prepare a place for you. So again, because of the way it is translated, I'm talking to Bram Martins and saying, I'll go and prepare a place. And Bram Martins, who is a Westerner, for the purpose of this illustration, he's a white man. So he's not a white man. Are you as white as this? So he's a white man, he's a Westerner. So for the purpose, he's looking at me. I am a Jewish man. And he's looking at me. And I'm saying this in English because the person that said it didn't say it in English. So let's put English. So he's saying, I will go prepare a place for you. So the Western man is thinking he's going away. When he finishes, we'll come back. But when Jesus was talking, I will go prepare a place, they knew he was talking about inside them. I will go. How will I arrive inside you? The only way I have a physical body is to come into you by my spirit. So if I come into you by my spirit, I will purge you. In that purging, you are now the Father's dwelling place. But in purging you, it's not like you clean something and the substance that cleansed you is gone. The cleansing is certified by the presence of the cleansing substance. In other words, the spirit that purged you is the spirit that lives in you. His very presence is cleansing. Glory to God. His presence in you is a cleansing. So it's not that he just cleansed you, you're now clean and he goes. No, he stays in you for you to be cleansed. So you remain cleansed forever. He's able to save to the uttermost. Glory to God. Can you see that now? So he says, I will pray the Father, he shall give you another corner that he may. So the abiding forever is I'm clean forever, I'm purged forever, and I'm filled forever. I'm filled forever. He's in me forever. So I'll pray the Father is the work I will accomplish will ensure that this presence is a forever presence. You are the one that now grows in your consciousness of that forever presence. So what's your work as a believer? Oh, Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1 now begins to make sense. I cease not to pray after I heard of your love and faith towards all the brethren. I cease not to pray for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you one spirit of wisdom, revelation, or spiritual wisdom, which is revelation by the Spirit. The eyes of your one understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of his calling. In the day Paul was writing, that was the language Paul could use. Somebody says, why? Because there was only Genesis to Malachi. In Genesis to Malachi, what you have is hope. It was a promise. Because it was a promise, it was hope. So when he says the hope of his calling, if that was the only material they had then, the word Paul would use was what? Hope, which is, as you read from Genesis to Malachi, and your eyes of understanding and enlightening, you will see what was spoken, that the resurrection and ascension will accomplish. It was testified to by David, by Moses, by other prophets. So you will see what is the hope or what you should expect from what Jesus has accomplished. You will see it in the scriptures. Somebody says why? Because you can't see the spirit, even though the spirit is in you. So even though the spirit is in you now, you go back to the scriptures to see what the spirit in you looks like and what is meant to be doing. And what abilities you now have is called the hope of his calling. Praise God. That's called the hope of his calling. You know what you're able to do. So you go to Isaiah 36. You begin to read. I will wash you with clean water and you shall be clean. Oh, I'm cleansed. Oh, I'm clean. I'm thoroughly purged. Hallelujah. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. I delight in doing God's will. I'm his workmanship in Christ Jesus. Created unto good works, which God has ordained as you walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. I can see the picture from the Holy Scriptures, what I'm designed to do. How I feel now, I know from the Scriptures. What I can do now, I know from the Scriptures. The description is there in the Scriptures. I can read, I can see it there. Hallelujah. Do I know him? I know him. They shall know me from the least to the greatest. Jeremiah 31:31. I can see there. The picture is there. They shall know me. They will not need to teach every man his neighbor, know the Lord. No, that was under the law. But they shall all know me from the least to the greatness. Glory to God. Say, I know him now. Say, there's a knowing inside of me now. I know him now. Hallelujah. So, go back to that John chapter 14. Are you coming along tonight? So, I'll pray the Father, I shall give you another comfort that he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit of this reality. So, he's about to describe a reality. What's that reality? I go and prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come again. I'll receive it to myself. What's the reality? Where I am is where you will be. There has to be a spirit of that reality. So that where I am, there you will be. The spirit of that reality is what I'm talking about. That's the comforter. So my indwelling you is the spirit. What indwelling you is also called the comforter. That reality, the spirit of that reality, it says, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees not in him, but you know him. Notice, for it dwelleth with you, but it shall be where? In you. That's the indwelling. What is Jesus explaining? He's explaining his name. He's explaining his name. Reputation. What I will accomplish. I'll pray the Father. That's his accomplishment. That's what I've done. So when I say in the name of Jesus, I'm saying by the indwelling of the Spirit. When I say in the name of Jesus, I'm saying as God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. When I say in the name of Jesus, as one whose sins are forever forgiven. When I say in the name of Jesus, I'm seen as one without condemnation. If I say in the name of Jesus, I'm seen as one who has been accepted in the beloved. When I say in the name of Jesus, as one who is holy and without blame before him in love. When I say in the name of Jesus, I'm seeing him in whom God has abandoned towards in all wisdom and prudence. When I say in the name of Jesus, I'm seeing the one God has made known unto me, the mystery of his will. Can you see, can be pronunciation? It's a knowing. It's a reality that we live in. When I say, be healed. Say why? Because Christ dwells in me. Hallelujah. The healer is in me now. What does that do? It takes me away from looking for sensation. It takes me away from wanting to feel an anointing. What I have is greater than feeling. I thank God for feeling. I thank God for sensation. But the spirit in me is bigger than feeling. When feelings fail, the spirit is in me still. What do? I stir up. These hands, they heal. These lips, they speak. These eyes, they bless. What are you doing? You're using the name. Hallelujah. I kind of believe that Peter wasn't counting on feeling. If there was any feeling Peter would have in Acts chapter 3, the feeling would have come after he prayed. They were about to go and pray. That hunger to save men, to preach the gospel, was on Peter. And the man made the right mistake. There's the right mistake. He looked on them, asking for alms. And Peter had his attention for just a few seconds. Look on us. Hey. Silver and gold, I have not. But such as I have. Somebody says, Peter, where did he get it from? If you're interviewing people, Peter will say, Jesus told me, I'll pray the Father. And he will give you another comforter. How do you mean? The one that will abide with you forever. A standby. Whether you have prayed, is there. Whether you have not prayed, is there. When you sleep, is there. When you awake, is there. When you feel down, is there. When you feel good, is there. It will abide with you forever. Even the spirit of the reality of our union. That means we're inseparable. The spirit of that reality is inseparable. It's inseparable. So what was different in Peter at this time? It was revelation. Such as I have in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. He could have said, in the name of the one that dwells in me, rise up and walk. And the man was slow. Peter jacked him up. That means no guesswork. His feet and ankle bones received strength. Praise God forevermore. When the days are coming, we'll pop people on the eyes. We'll pop them on the ears, and the ears will pop them. Deafness goes. The days are here. We'll punch people in the belly and cancer vanishes. We'll jack people up from wheelchair and their legs straighten. We'll run with the lame. After just a few seconds, every withered part of their body receives fresh life. The days are here. What will I do in 2023? I will take hold of power. Thus saith the Spirit of God. I will take hold of power. For my home, for my children, for my affairs, I will take hold of power. I'm not bereft of power. I'm not without the power of God. He will be with me forever. He is with me forever. So I will take hold of power. I will not act like one who is powerless. No, I will not leave you without comfort. I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. He has come to us. Hallelujah. He is living in us now. Glory to God. He is living in us now. That he may abide with you forever. Such as I have, give I thee. The only gift that a man can give that will never diminish. It remains intact. Rather, it increases. inside you. We keep giving the gift of salvation away. It keeps increasing inside of us. The only gift that you can give that multiplies and increases. No wonder he told us, freely you have received. So make sure you what? You freely give. Praise God forevermore. I'm trying to let us see what they were doing in Acts chapter 2. It is no small matter. That exercise, they were acting on Acts 1:8. They received power, or they laid hold of power, and they began. How do we know it was power? Oh, I thought they were speaking in tongues. Ah, that is the power in expression, in a language. Did they spoke as speaking in tongues? No. Then Peter gave a teaching. What has happened? The power of the Spirit overwhelmed 3,000 men. It takes power for a man to be saved. When did they begin? So it looks as though, this is what they are talking about. We are just talking something I don't even understand. Shall I be saying it? Until they saw, surely there's an end. And your expectations shall not be cut off. What's that end? 3,000 souls saved. Can you imagine first time preaching by the power of the Holy Ghost? 3,000 is your own starting point. Not one-on-one evangelism. You can give testimony to George Woman. First time. Ah. What ratio is that, Pastor T? That's the 120 people were speaking tongues, then 3,000. What kind of ratio is that one? I'm not a mathematician, but as in, first time. You know the way you think after the meeting? This Holy Ghost is sweet. I must take hold of power more often. That's how next year will be. Increased results. Accelerated progress. Ministry-wise, they won't come in one or twos. In tens and twenties. In thirties and fifties. In hundreds, they will start coming in. They start running in. Because the sequel is in our mouth. 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 The sequel walks side by side with ministry experience. The sequel upon your lips will walk side by side with angels. You will walk as you speak, they will act. And while you are doing the work in the hearts of men, they will be doing the work on the outside. They will be bringing the men in that direction. The sequel is upon your mouth. The utterance is the sequel of God. And as you extend the sequel, the angels will cause men to move in your direction. And they will be saved. And lives will be changed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. They began. I will begin to lay hands. Yeah, I will begin to lay hands. I'll begin to speak and command demonic forces to cease in the activities concerning men. And as I begin, the power will be unleashed. And I will increase in the results that I will see. Because as I see one or two or three, I will get bolder. And bolder and bolder until a whole company of people, when I speak over them, the same effect on one will be the effect on all. Oh, I speak to you tonight by the Spirit of God. I speak to you tonight by the Spirit of God. It will be the effect on all. So the effect you see with one, you start seeing that effect in a multiplied way upon many. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They began. John chapter 14 again. Verse 18. The name. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. He says, yet a little while, the world saith me no more, but you see me, because what I live, you live also, or the life I live is the life you will live, or I will be living through you. Because I live, you live also means I will find expression through you. So the world is not seeing me, because it's not I'm physically being sighted by you, I'm living in you by my spirit. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come. That's the ascension. That's the indwelling. I've come to you now. So I'm with you now. You're not comfortless. Say, I'm not comfortless. Say, I have standby power. 24 hours a day. Say, there's standby power. You know what the standby regenerator is? Then no power failure. No power failure. Glory to God. The only failure we experience is in our confession. No power failure. That means you speak right. The power keeps working. The power keeps working. Imagine Peter present. We didn't know miracle power was present until Peter spoke. Such as I have give I did. How did he give? In the name of Jesus. Rise up. He gave it by using words. Not a feeling. That's not a feeling. He gave the power by using words. So Peter's utterance was the way the power found expression. Towards the man's ankle and his body. And the man was raised. What did he use? The name. What is the name? The Spirit in me. The Spirit in me. The Spirit in me. as the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The spirit in me, that's the name of Jesus. That's the name of Jesus. The days are over. When we would fold our hands and cry. When we bow our heads and be sorrowful. When we have all the power that made heaven and earth. The days are gone. When we walk away in defeat. When we're born in victory. Those days are over. But the days have come. When hand in hand with the Son, the captain of our salvation will march. And the forces of hell and death will tremble. They will shake. And they will fall before us. The days are come when we plunder men from the kingdom of darkness by the power of that eternal light. The days are come when eternal life becomes the commodity we distribute on every street corner. The days are here. The days are here. The saints clothed with supernatural boldness. The saints marching. Nothing able to resist the force of that endless life by which we might. Shadows flee before a light that is so bright. Now no captive of the enemy is left in the enemy's camp. All are plundered and all are taken. And all become under the kingdom of our God. Glory to God. The days are here. The days are here. I'm a partaker of that day. I'm a partaker of that day. I'm a partaker of that day. Glory to God. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. And be glad in it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name. Oh, glory to your name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise your name forever. We praise your name forever. Verse 20 is where I've been trying to get to. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Verse 20. At that day, you shall know. I see the enemy defeated. I see the demons flee. This is that day. Now you know. Now you know. Now you know. Now you know that he is in the Father and he is in us and we're in him. Now we know. Now we know. Watch out 2023. Now we know. Now we know. As the Son is in the Father, we're in the Son. And the Son is in us. We're unstoppable. We're unstoppable. We break boundaries. We remove barriers. Nothing stands in our way. Nothing stands in our path. We run roughshod over every limitation. No more limitations. No more barriers. Nothing is able to withstand the force of our progress. Now we know this is the day we know. We know that as he is in the Father, so is he in us. And we are in him. We are in him. We know that is the name. There is an inseparable union. We know that we are in him. He is in us and we are in the Father together. We know, we know. We know, we know, we know, we know, we know, we know. And the power of the Spirit finds expression to us like never before. It is different from now onwards. It is different from now onwards. We'll stand to your feet and pray in the Holy Ghost.